Okay, let's get right back to Admiral Harry Cooper and the story of the Admiral Graf Spee. Here's a little thing. This is a German naval song. It's actually in English. And wait till I tell you how many listens this has had. It's a YouTube video. Okay. Thought we should honor all sailors of all countries, and how many people honor German sailors? Not over in this part of the world, so there you go.
Well, we do here at Shark Hunters, and that gets us in trouble all the time. These were not evil people. These were honorable sailors.
It sounds like a song that could have been an American naval song. For goodness sakes. These are people. People.
Yep.
This was up 3 years ago, and over 1.4 million listens, views of this video.
Mm-hmm.
So, people haven't forgotten.
We try to keep memories alive.
Now, people who lost their lives would appreciate that, Harry, as you know. Okay.
Yep.
Number
20.
Okay.
Sponsoring. That's all that's sticking up out of the water of Graf Spee.
Was the keel broken when it went down? Is it all busted up in pieces, or just the superstructure pretty much destroyed?
I think it was pretty much from the interior on up, but I don't know if the hull was destroyed or not. I don't know.
If that were refloated, brought into a repair yard and made to look like it did, like they should have left the Obersalzberg together.
Oh yeah,
all of it. Imagine the tourist money that they'd make.
The revenue,
probably pay for the. They'd pay for it all in probably I'll bet 3, 4, or 5 years. They'd be paid for the whole restoration.
Yeah. Living down here in Florida, I see how many people flock to Disney World. Same thing. You can't even move in Disney World. I don't go there. My wife, my son, and my daughter, they've all got annual passes. Megan's there every couple of weeks. There's times you can't even move. You got a two-hour wait to get on a ride. I'm sure it would be the same thing. And Wally World, except for this Kung Flu scamdemic, they were making money by the boatload, and it would be the same thing for the Graf Spee or for the Obersalzberg. But we're not supposed to remember, you know, World War what? Adolf who? We don't want
to
get into any.
That's right.
We don't want to get into any political things.
Well, I don't
mind. Skip over number 21.
I always like politics. All right, go to number 22.
Yeah. Thanks, honey. Love you. My wife was just coming in with more tea for me. Number 22.
What a sweetie. All right.
Oh, she's a great lady. Our anniversary's coming up on the 30th. Anyhow, that's Longstaff. Notice he's got his hand inside his jacket. He's not emulating Napoleon. He got slightly injured in the battle, and so he's kind of alleviating the pain.
His arm is up. I'd say that's an arm injury, and he's holding it up.
Okay, I thought it was his chest, but at any rate, yeah, he's got a
could be.
He's got a slight wound. Look off to the right there, Diggins. That's Captain Diggins. He was a member of Shark Hunters until he died. I've met with him I don't know how many times over there in Germany. He was head of the German Submariners Association, but, you know, there's none of them left, hardly. The last skipper died a couple of months ago. But that was Diggins. He was an adjutant on board Graf's Bay.
Who's on the left?
Yeah, I think that's, I can't see his rank. So he would either be Capitaine Zorsee K, who was then put in charge of all the survivors of the Graf's Bay, to get them situated in Buenos Aires to keep them from being imprisoned. They were... Say again?
I understand. I get
Yeah, they were interred, but not imprisoned. Mm-hmm. So either that or it's Captain Niebuhr, who was with the embassy there, who really was a spy.
Now, the chronology of this picture, number 22, for example, was taken... When, in relation to the destruction of the ship?
Right afterwards.
The notice
day
I just
or two afterwards.
Yeah, they're noticed. They're dressed in their finest officer.
Well, they're in their summer uniforms because it was December, and December is the height of summer down there.
Yeah. Okay. Number 23.
I think, I'm not positive, but I think this was at the funeral ceremonies for the guys that were killed on board the ship. You see
well,
a priest there in the lower
right. There's a priest there on the right, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
And he's in his formal dress uniform, gloves and all, Langsdorff. So, in 24, he's back with his guys again. I'm sure that is... Niebuhr on the left, because he's got the braids on his uniform, which usually means they're an aide or something like that. Langsdorff's in the middle, and on the far right, that is Diggins again. He's on Langsdorff's left, but he's in photo right. That's Diggins again.
And how did like this said, go? Go ahead.
I didn't even know the guy was on board the Graf's Bay until well after he died, and I knew him. I knew him well. He never bothered to tell me he was on the Graf's Bay. Because if I had known, I would have just had a million more questions. But
it's
one thing about the Germans. You ask them a question, boy, they'll give you everything you need. But if you don't ask the question, they're not going to volunteer it.
Well, they're not braggarts.
Yeah,
not
I guess
culture.
That's the case. Great guys, honorable men.
Wow. Okay. Langsdorff was a very dapper and dashing captain.
Yeah, he was.
How did this go over in Germany when the ship was brought out, scuttled, and then blown up? What was the sentiment back home? Do you have
That's
much on that?
That's a good question. I flat out don't know. I don't know. Anything I would say would be just a guess.
Let me see if I can find something here. Okay, onward to number 25.
Right.
All right. Reading
tomorrow
newspapers.
I'll give Peter Hansen a call. He's 98. The guy still walks 7 miles a day, for God's sake. He was in the U-boats, and he knows everything about it. So I'll ask him how it was. Here in 25, you see Wattenberg on the left. He was the navigation officer, and he before this, he was training officer and... Kretschmer and Shepka were his students. Langsdorff's in the center, and Captain K is on the right, Captain Zorsee, and he took over getting all the guys situated. The officers, I think everyone to a man, got out of internment one way or another. Most returned to Germany. Wattenberg was commander of U-162. Diggins was commander of 466. Kay, however, was ordered to remain in Buenos Aires to resituate the crew. He was in charge of their welfare. And a lot of the other officers who did not get back to Germany went into the spook world in South America. Germany had a huge spy ring in South America. So those who didn't get back to Germany went into the spook work in South America. They believed in duty.
Well, they probably still have a spy network down there, although it's being run by their children. They know what's going on.
I know nothing. I hear nothing.
I didn't ask anything.
Or as we say over in the other country, Meine Name ist Hase, ich lebe in der Wald und ich kenne nicht. My name is Rabbit, I live in the woods, and I don't know nothing.
Very good. Oh, there's an original news story here about this, the scuttling of the ship. People thought it was going to go out, and it was going to fight to the death. That's what
right.
they thought. Langsdorff didn't want to lose his... He knew he was hopelessly outgunned. They were damaged, and he had 1,000 men he was responsible for, and he was obviously a very humane captain.
Yeah. So all those guys lived, except for the 36 who died in the engagement, plus himself. So here he's reading a newspaper. Now he's in his navy blues and or his dark uniform and reading a newspaper. This is still shortly after. Of course, it had to be shortly after the blowing up of the ship because he was dead within a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. He's a dapper guy, and he's smoking a cigar. So many of these old German skippers love their cigars. Kretschmer, Top, they all, and Von Bülow, every time
so
you
did,
see him.
So did Adolf Galland.
Yes, yes. So many of these guys love their cigars. And, like I say, Kretschmer also, but he quit smoking later on in life.
The Graf Spee did so much damage to Exeter that they were talking about just junking it, scrapping it.
Yeah.
It was decided it was such an important psychological aid to the war effort that so they reworked it.
And yeah, and it was, from what it looks like to me, she's an old ship.
Not World War One or shortly thereafter. Yeah.
Right. Whereas Ajax and Achilles were fairly new and modern, but Exeter was one of the old flat flush deckers and just an ugly old ship.
She was so heavily reworked in the shipyard for a year that the Exeter was in the dockyard, finally returning to service in 1941, joined the combined Dutch, British, American, Australian forces guarding the East Indies about a year later. She was damaged very early in the action at the Battle of the Java Sea. She was again the first cruiser damaged and had fallen out of the battle line in a way that perhaps cost the Allies what little hope they had in the campaign. Unable to repair the damage and with her speed reduced to 16 knots, she was intentionally sunk March 1, 1942,
okay.
making her one of only a few British ships to have the bitter distinction of being badly mauled by gunfire in both the Atlantic and the Pacific.
And, a hell of a note.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, in the Pacific, in the early stages of the war, the Japanese had the navy down there. They had the biggest, most powerful navy ever assembled up to that point. But then came Midway, and Nimitz, who was a real genius, wiped out their four first-line carriers, and from then on, ball game was over for the Japanese. They just were getting beaten back left, right, and Sunday. Thank God for Nimitz. His son became a rear admiral, but his son and his wife, I guess maybe they were in pain or something later on in life. they had a conference with their children, decided they were going to commit suicide, so they took care of all they had to do with their kids. And I think they were in their 80s, and they committed suicide. Nimitz's son, that was Chester Nimitz Jr., and his wife.
Oh, this is interesting. The other three British ships most closely involved with the Graf Spee fight, the Ajax, the Achilles, and the Cumberland, all survived. The latter two, in fact, played themselves in a movie about the battle. They were in a movie.
Cumberland?
Yeah. Ajax, Achilles, and Cumberland were the three. That's what it says here.
I never heard that.
They weren't scrapped until 1978.
Okay.
Anyway, there you go. I'm trying to find out how this went over in England. very, very well, but I mean, in Germany, the opposite would be expected.
Yeah, they would not be cheering that one.
No, I wouldn't think that they would have been real happy that the ship didn't go down fighting, if you will.
Right.
I don't know this. I'm just speculating. I can't imagine Hitler being real happy with that.
Oh, no.
I would have parked
it
right where it was and said, you want us? Come on, here we are.
He had a longer range so he could reach out and touch somebody before their guns were in range.
That's what I'm saying.
If he still had enough ammunition. But he had enough to fight halfway across the mouth of the Rio de la Plata. Halfway isn't enough.
Quite a story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They call it actually a heavy cruiser here.
What was the heavy cruiser? The Spee?
Yeah.
Okay.
War History Online.com, but Life and Death of the German Heavy Cruiser Admiral Graf Spee, obviously written by people who don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
You know, you got all these Johnny Come Lately people. There's one outfit called the U-boat guys, the veterans and real serious researchers referred to as U-boat.not. You know, where they got theories, fairy tales, guesses. Mm-hmm. And if you write in and ask for information about the U-boat full of treasure sunk in the Sea of Tranquility, you'll have 100 replies before somebody realizes the Sea of Tranquility is on the moon. We are the only ones who have the accurate history because we got it from the guys who were there. Kretschmer, the greatest submarine commander of the war. Like I said, I had a sleeping room in his house. At his top, the third most successful, he was over here. Kretschmer was over here in Chicago once when we had a patrol in Chicago. Top was here. Hess was over three or four times. Hans Georg, who became my best friend. Mm-hmm. I was over to Top's house. Hardigan was here a couple of times, once in Chicago, once down here in Florida. And I was over to his house I don't know how many times. His house was so big, he had to have two addresses, 16/18 was his address. And once these guys knew that Shark Hunters was a serious history organization and not a bunch of radical neo-Nazis, they networked us with everybody. And thank God for that. And I gave them my word I'd keep their history alive, and that's what I've been doing. Nobody gets a salary here at Shark Hunters.
No, no.
Me included.
Don't I know that? Tell our listeners about the free membership you're offering again through the end of the year.
Right. Anybody who wants to, just send us an email at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say you want the free membership till the end of the year. We need your name and your email address. That's it. And you're on until 1st of January. And if you wish to stay on after that, you're welcome to stay on. If you don't want to stay on, okay, bail out. But there's no cost, no credit card, no nothing. All we need is your name and your email address. And you'll get our magazine. Jeff can tell you about our magazine. He's been a member, since 2013.
1958, I told you.
Okay, I forgot. 1958. I was in tech school for thermonuclear weapons with the Air Force back then.
I was in my crib.
Yeah. Were you even born?
Not yet.
Well, that's what I figured. I didn't think you were up to that age.
Just an accident. Here, listen to this. The object, I'm going to just jump in and read part of an article here. Down at the port in the old section of this city, Montevideo, I guess, of a million and a half people, an important piece of that dreadnought is on display. Guarded by sailors, few of whom know much about the Grouch Bay and its short life and surprising death, and might wonder what it has to do with Uruguay. All right, it's Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
The object drawing all the attention is the Grouch Bay's electronic rangefinder. 27 tons of rusted steel perforated here and there by the eroding salt of the estuary. A machine so sophisticated at directing the ship's 11-inch guns, it made the Grouch Bay one of the deadliest craft afloat in the world. It was detached from the hulk by a Uruguayan salvager named Hector Bado, B-A-D-O. He and Alfredo Echegaray, hope I'm getting that pronunciation right, with the support of British marine archaeologists, are determined to raise the Grouch Bay and make it a museum. Tourists will come, they believe, from Britain, Germany, and from that region in South America. The story of the ship and its fate is embedded in the histories of the two countries, etc. So there was talk of doing exactly what I suggested at the beginning of the program. This is May 8th, 2004, and it hasn't been brought up yet. So apparently they ran out of funds.
Yeah, Echevarria, I think, is the name of the guy who financed most of the salvage. That rangefinder is on the grounds of the headquarters of the Uruguayan Navy. Huh. We went there, Martin and I, and wanted to go in, and the officer of the deck said, nope, we couldn't go in. And then I showed him my U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary ID, and, oh, yeah, come on in. We got to see everything except the eagle. We'll get to that in a minute. That is just, when we get to the pictures of the eagle, we'll get into the history, the politics, and all the rest of that. Mickey Duck.
The quality of Langsdorff as a commander and a human being was revealed during his brief stay in Montevideo. He immediately arranged to have those among his crew who died in the battle buried with full military honors.
Right.
Hundreds of the Grouch Bay's crew poured off the ship for the ceremony and marched through Montevideo, followed by the scores of merchant marine officers from Britain who had been prisoners aboard the Grouch Bay, having been taken from their ships before they were sunk. So they had enough respect for Langsdorff to march with he and his men to honor the crewmen who were killed.
Right. He was an honorable man.
Yeah. The 36 crew were laid to rest for the duration of the war in ground made available in the British cemetery. Langsdorff hailed his dead sailors with the German naval salute, eschewing the Nazi salute, a gesture received badly by the German ambassador who was present. Word of it also rankled Hitler, back in Berlin, who, it is said, ordered Langsdorff to take the ship out and go down fighting. Lacking ammunition, Langsdorff knew this would result in the deaths of many or all of his crew. Thus, he arranged to have most of them surreptitiously transferred onto an Argentine freighter. Then,
right,
in the early evening of December 17th, with an abbreviated crew, Langsdorff set the great ship in motion toward the outer harbor, filled it with explosives on hand, and as the three British cruisers began to move in closer in anticipation, he turned and anchored east of the old harbor and made off with his men to Buenos Aires on the freighter that held the rest of his crew.
Mm-hmm.
They would be interned in Argentina for the duration of the war. Many would stay there the rest of their lives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most of the enlisted men never came home, married Argentine girls. And let me switch back for a second to where he made, Langsdorff made the Navy salute and not the so-called Nazi salute. They didn't do the right arm in the air in the Navy at all until after the July 1944 assassination attempt on Hitler's life in the Wolfschanze. Then after that, they had to do the right arm in the air salute. But up until then, it was always, always the military salute. And as for the Nazi salute, there's no such thing. That was the old Roman salute. When two men would meet each other, they'd put their arms straight out in the air with their palm open to show they had no weapon in their hand. So much for the Nazi salute. It was the Roman salute. And boy, I studied the Romans. My number one hero in the whole world was Julius Caesar. So, you know, anyhow, that's another whole ball game.
Wow. All right, one last little graph here. With thousands of people jamming the beaches and the quays of the port, the Graf's Bay blew up and sank at 7:56 p.m. 2 days later, Captain Langsdorff shot himself to death in the naval arsenal in Buenos Aires. He was found wrapped in the German naval flag. He is buried in the German cemetery in that city. The affair of the Graf's Bay, with its high drama and operatic outcome, had a number of benign effects. It was the first major victory for the Allies at the outset of what would be a long struggle. It deprived the Nazis, let me get this straight here, the author should have written it right. It deprived the Germans of a powerful weapon of war, and perhaps more importantly, through the character of Captain Langsdorff, it encouraged the world to believe that not all Germans were evil Nazis or sympathetic to their cause.
Yeah. You got to find some way to work in evil Nazis, otherwise you get attacked by the spitlickers like we were. These guys were not Nazis. As a matter of fact, when Admiral Dönitz, well, he was only a Kapitän Sursee at this time, but when he became Admiral of the Fleet, Gross Admiral, he made it, well, also when he was head of the U-boat arm, he made it hard, fast rule. You could not belong to any political party, and the Nazi party, allegedly Nazi, is the NSDAP, the Socialist Party. You could not belong to any political party in the German Navy during the war. So, you know, where are all the Nazis? Oh, wait a minute. Every German was a Nazi, according to certain history.
Only 10% of the German military was ever a member of the party, by the way. 10%.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So, you know, anyhow, I'll shut up. What's our next picture, boss?
Number
25.
They're reading the newspaper still, so we rejoin where we were.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wattenberg on the left, Kay on the right, Langsdorff in the middle.
Okay, number 26.
26, we looked at that one. Yeah, that's him reading his newspaper. Probably right. Reading the reports of the incident.
Number 27, another shameless promotion for these wonderful books you have, Super History Special. Yeah.
Yep, our newest one is coming out in a week or two with the title you gave us, Lost World War II U-Boat Photos. This is volume 2.
Wonderful.
And we're coming out with it in about a week or two.
Very good. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I hope all of you do take advantage of the opportunity to join Shark Hunters for free and have a little walkthrough, or at least reconsider what you think you knew about World War II history. The book there, The Plan to Murder, The Plan to Rescue Hitler, look at the top, right, okay? That's the book cover. That's a big Condor, four-engine, long-distance transport patrol aircraft. And I had to fight with Harry over that location of that title.
Well, I eventually figured, okay, you know what you're doing, so I put it where you said.
Yeah. just these scars won't go away. I've got I just.
Don't forget, our newest one has your title also, and we never thought about the location there. I put it just the same as Volume 1.
No, I'm honored to be able to help wherever I can do.
Your help has been incredible. Incredible. So, well, all your listeners, send us an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Give us your name and your email address, which, of course, will come with your email. And you're a member for free till the end of the year. And then you may continue if you want or not.
Very good.
Doesn't cost you a thing.
No. I want to say one other thing. The perversion and corruption of the truth of World War II is without any question in my mind, and I majored in history, the most despicable perversion of reality that I can think of in what we call history. This is just, it's outrageous. Thank
Not
God for
Not only perversion of history, but in many places, it's illegal to try to change the fictional
the
reports of history.
I know. It's incredible. All right, photo number 29, Admiral. What do we have here? Saying goodbye.
Yeah, Langsdorff by this time probably knew he was going to commit suicide. And he's wishing good luck to all his enlisted men. And you see on the little flap on the back of their jersey is called a dickey. And they got three white lines. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every sailor in just about every navy in the world has those three white lines around the border. And do you know why?
No.
Because there are three oceans, Atlantic, Pacific, and the Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what those three lines are for. And I was never even in the Navy.
Another classic old photo. Look at that.
Right. Like I say, we get stuff from our members all over the world.
Yeah. Number 30.
30. Where have I seen that before?
We've looked at that. The priest down there, this is, saying goodbye to the lost from the fight.
Right. Somehow I screwed up. Photo 23 and 30 are the same photo.
It's all right. It's good to remind people.
People
die, and they're honored, and this is obviously a priest, most likely a quote, non-denominational priest. I don't know.
Could be.
How many Germans were Catholic, but at any rate, number
31. That was
31.
Pretty much a regional thing. From Bavaria south through Austria, heavily, heavily Roman Catholic. North of that in Germany, heavily Lutheran, or as they say, Evangelisch. So it depends on where they were.
Mm-hmm. Number 31.
That's the entrance to the Naval Club, which I believe is where Langsdorff was when he shot himself. We stay right across the street from this. This is the Navy Association, whatever. We stay right across the street in the annex to this place.
Right.
It's a hotel run by the Navy. It's kind of like the Officers Club or whatever. Very nice people there. And we're going back, assuming they ever let go of this vax mandate, because if we have to be vaxxed, I don't care whether people are or not. I just don't want the government telling me I have to do it.
That's right. Well said. Number 32.
Yep. This is Langsdorff's coffin as it lay in state at the German cemetery. I've been there in this little room that you see in photo 33, kind of like a chapel or a receiving room or whatever. That's in the German cemetery, and it's right next door to the British cemetery in Buenos Aires. Both are maintained in impeccable order.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an old photo, too. There's more goes on there, and we'll get to that in another couple of pictures. But this is Langsdorff laying in state with his honor guard. And 34 is the funeral procession. So I don't recognize any of those guys. The two guys on either side of the coffin in the front, they both have the rank of Corvette and Captain, which is sort of like a U.S. Navy commander, three rings. That's the, and you'll see the big eagle on the thing behind him.
Sure, up above, yeah.
Up above, yeah. And this is in the German cemetery. And he's buried there. His headstone, if you want to call it a headstone, is about 10 feet high, black marble, and it runs for probably about 30 feet. And he's buried there, and apparently some of the other officers he knew were buried there later, because it's got quite a few names on it. It's just an incredible cemetery, and it's maintained immaculately. Mm-hmm. Same with the British cemetery next door. Mm-hmm. But every year on the anniversary of Langsdorff's suicide, there are memorials. Some are neatly dressed middle-aged people. Others are young people wearing all black with black jump boots and carrying interesting flags. And they all march to the German cemetery.
All right, number 35. Let's get back to the eagle.
35, the eagle. Notice I put the 35 over the swastika so your brain doesn't melt.
Oh, thank you. I didn't want another headache. Thank you.
Right. This is the biggest ping pong game going on in the world for decades. This was the big eagle from the transom of the Graf Spee, and collectors would pay a fortune for this thing. The Jewish community wants it destroyed because it's got that evil swastika. They want it destroyed.
Yeah.
Buyers, you know, collectors want to buy it. The poor guy that paid the money for the expedition to raise all these things, he's still out the money. And the Uruguayan Navy has said when they auction it off, and they keep changing, yeah, we'll auction it next month. And then, oh, wait, no, we're not going to auction it. Oh, yes, we will. Oh, no, we won't, because some neo-Nazi might buy it and make it a shrine, et cetera, back and forth. But anyhow, if and when it sells, the guy who ran the salvage operation gets half the money. The other half goes to the Uruguayan Navy. I don't know why they get any money. They didn't do anything to raise it. But it is such a hot potato that when I was down there with Martine, my U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary credentials got me anywhere I wanted to go in the Uruguayan Navy, except this eagle is kept in a separate building under lock and key with an armed guard at the door. We even got one of their version of the SEALs to try to talk to somebody to get us permission to go in and look at it. Now, couldn't get in.
Wow.
So it's a political hot potato, and God knows if the problem's ever going to be resolved. You know,
no,
some people
so it
want it destroyed.
No.
Say again?
Just so it isn't destroyed.
Right. Well, like I say, some people want it destroyed. The Uruguayan Navy is not going to allow that. Other people want to buy it. The Uruguayan Navy is afraid to put it up for sale. It'll probably go for $10, $15 million.
What's it made of, Harry? What is that?
I believe it's bronze, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
So you know, if the bidding ever starts.
Hmm? It's being moved in these pictures, obviously. They covered
right.
up
well,
that, evil,
this picture,
that evil symbol. Yeah.
Yeah, number 35, this is while it's in its guarded house. The other ones are when it was being moved there.
Got it.
But I thought this would be best to start the series with for its impact. But if it ever goes up for auction, it'll go for between 10 and 15 million, I bet. Easy, that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they won't take my check.
Admiral Cooper's rubberized checks, guaranteed not to bounce when they hit the ground.
Yeah.
I know that. I know that drill.
It would bounce to the moon.
All right. Number 36 is interesting. Obviously, just pulled up out of the water.
Right. This is when they were bringing it ashore, right? And you can see it's about between 6 and 8 feet high, I think, something like that. And they have bagged off that evil Hakenkreuz.
Which used to be used by an American infantry brigade, division, company,
the 45th Infantry Division.
There it is, division.
45th Infantry Division until the war started.
We use the same symbol.
It was from the Navajo. And so they switched off to the Navajo Thunderbird for their shoulder patch. And just briefly touching, talk about war crimes. When they went to Dachau, which is not just a camp, it was a whole city. Dachau was decreed an open city. There was no combat going on. The troops all just moved out except at the camp. And these were mostly younger troops just brought in while the older troops took off. The 45th Infantry Division stood all the guards against the wall and machine gunned them, and anybody who didn't die from the machine gun got a 45 bullet in the back of the head. But that was okay, though, see?
It was
wasn't
men
okay
and women,
for anybody
too,
else
I
to
think,
do it.
Wasn't it? Didn't they put men and women together? They had women working at the camps as well.
Right. I don't know if they got machine gunned or not.
Well, anyway. All right, number 40.
How do we go from 36?
Yeah. Well, we got to jump.
Okay, 37. 30,
no,
is
we
just
can go back to 36, 37, 38. 38
okay,
is the one I mentioned.
37 is just a big shot of the wingspan.
Close-up, yeah, the wing, yeah.
And 36 is the eagle laying on the dock waiting to get packaged up to move.
If that's bronze, the wings, the feathers could be polished down. That's a little bit of abrasion from the salt.
Oh, yeah. Muriatic acid ought to clean it up real quick.
Sure. Okay, 39. Let's get to 39.
39. Yep, this is one of the memorials. One of our members, Ed Leek, was there, and he took this shot. This is one of the memorials to the Graf Spee. Across in Montevideo, they have much the same big memorials. It's a heroic thing down there.
Got it. Okay, then the anchor. That is
the
anchor.
Yeah, take more than a couple of guys to pick that sucker up.
It ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
No. All right, let's free membership in Shark Hunters. Remember that. There's another reminder. I want to make sure we have enough to wrap up these pictures here.
Right.
Just send us your name and email today for immediate membership. No charge to the end of
the year.
You
betcha.
What an incredible library of material Harry has. And
yeah,
Kane
you can't
has,
even walk
and
through
Megan
the place.
You guys have done just phenomenal.
We look like we should be on that TV show Hoarders. We don't have any garbage here, but we got cases and cases of documents and books. We got over 5,000 books.
Wow.
Number 42. What in the world? That is a flyer, a brochure, inviting people to the memorial for Hans Langsdorff 68 years after his death. That was in 2007 this event was being advertised.
Wow. 43.
43? This is in 2014, the memorial. These
amazing.
Are not the ones with the jack boots. These are the neatly dressed civilians, not the guys with the jack boots and the flags. And then the other one, 44, that's an old veteran from the Graf Spee, and I assume maybe that's his grandson, I don't know, but that's an old veteran who I'm sure ain't with us anymore because he was well up in years there, but this was at the memorial.
2014, you say?
Yes, 21st of December.
All right. Now, I'm going to just ask for a few seconds here. I'm speaking for myself, not for Shark Hunters, not for Harry Cooper. I've been covering this so-called plandemic, which it is. It's a bioweapon in the vaccine that was the entire impetus of creating this charade, was to get people to demand to take the vax. It's a biological weapon. It is still operating under emergency use authorization. It is not approved. It has killed, in my opinion, probably over 1.5 million Americans already, murdered God knows how many around the world. Tens of millions in this country have been injured by this vaccine, unless they were fortunate enough to get a placebo, which is salt water. That's what they give people in a placebo. They had to have people running around saying, "What are you talking about? I got the shot and I'm just fine." Well, of course, if 40 or 50% of the injections are saline, you're going to have a lot of people who are just fine. No problem. And I'll say every time I look back on World War II history and study this, and I mean study all sides, it is apparent, abundantly clear to me that Germany, and I'm not talking about evil Nazis, Germany and the German people were the last chance the world had to avoid what is being inflicted upon us right now, which is global genocide and suffering off the scale and beyond belief. The people behind this are the same people who orchestrated World Wars I, World War II, and so many other horrors that this planet has had to go through. I'm not naming any names of any groups because it is a groupless group. There are people from all manners and all walks of life involved in globalism. So just understand that they are the enemy, and the Germans didn't like it. They understood. They had suffered so much after World War I and the Treaty of Versailles. They knew who the enemy was. They even wrote in their Illustrated magazine in 1943 and 44 what would happen to Europe and the world if Germany were to lose the war. And they were right. They knew. No big mystery. So what you're suffering from, what we're suffering from right now, can directly be traced back to the loss of World War II by Germany. They were just overwhelmed. And also, as an adjunct, don't ever forget what General George Patton, arguably the greatest general in the war, certainly our greatest general, he said, "We fought the wrong enemy. We were set up." And they killed him for it. So understand that the world is far different than the average American will ever understand. That's my little two cents.
Let me add a little bit more here, if I may. I just got rung in from our friend Norberto, and he translated what's on photo number 39. And it says, well, I lost the darn thing. Norberto, where did you go? Okay, come on, Cooper, let's get back to where we were.
Well, it says Graf Spee on the top left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there we go. Not that. This. Jeez. Okay, here it is. It says, "May the ideals that we defend together today endure." That's from Norberto.
Nice.
Thank you, Norberto.
Yeah, very good.
He's a sharp guy.
Oh, the best. No better. All right, sir, well done, and I hope all of you enjoyed that walk through real history, and understand that even in 1939, there was certainly a great deal of difference of opinion in what perhaps Langsdorff should have done. Go down fighting, take 1,000 men with him, or save those men and give them a life ahead. Interesting. Controversy always surrounds war.
And yeah, nobody ever wins a war.
No, and the first victim in a war is always truth.
Truth. Oh, absolutely.
So there we
go. Absolutely. You know, and I do this 12 hours a day at least, so I see history versus fictional history that we're taught in school.
Right, right. Harry, thank you. Very, very good program. Outstanding. And I salute to all those men and all of those times and all of their efforts to rid the world of global communism, which is what they were all about.
Right.
And I'll stand on that. So we'll talk soon. You be well. Say hi to the family.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. And you take care.
Okay. Will do. All right. Admiral Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. Back with more in just a few.